Hey everyone, welcome to the Christian Marketeers Podcast, where we impart, inspire, impact, and influence your nonprofit to skyrocket to the next level. I am your host, Shawnee Pinkasek, and today I have an incredible guest co-host who is my coach and good friend, Rebecca Garcia. Rebecca is here to talk about a topic that a lot of you get distracted by, and that's exactly what it is, distractions. And Rebecca, we're going to talk today about how to get focused. So, for our listeners who don't know you, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you do what you do?
All right. Well, thank you so much, first of all, for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm really excited. This is a topic that I really is near and dear to my heart. I love talking about focus. I say that word so many times. I wish I had a penny for every time I've said the word focus. I'd probably be rich right now. But focus is a topic that is I think important to everyone, because it's easy for us to get off focus. We want to get focused. We want to take action. We want to stay focused. So I'm a coach. I've been a business coach and a life coach for Christian women, entrepreneurs, business owners, and ministry leaders for over 16 years. 8 years ago, I founded Christian Women Entrepreneurs Network. It's an organization that is a support community. It's a networking style community for the Christian woman entrepreneur to help them stay focused on what God is calling them to do. And that's really my heart, is to help women pursue their God-given purpose and to stay focused on it, because it's really important that we carry out what God has created us, designed us for, and to carry out those assignments. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. That's what I do, and that is my love, is to help women in business, in life, and faith stay focused on the right things.
Yeah, because that's the issue with society. We get distracted. You know, I think of those squirrel moments. I think of the up with the dog and how it's like squirrel, and then we're just off on another tangent, even though God's downloaded a specific plan to us. And you shared one thing with me that I didn't know, is that you actually had a nonprofit before CWN. Yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looked like and who you served at that time?
Yes, I partnered with another woman who is a marriage and family therapist, and we started a women's center for women to receive counseling, but basically the same kinds of things that I do with Christian Women Entrepreneurs Network, but there was an emphasis on the counseling component. And so we came together. I came from the coaching perspective, she came from the counseling perspective, and it was a brick and mortar organization where women could come in and get services, including counseling and coaching.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that translates into what you do today, which is so incredible. The network of CWN is very vast and broad. It's about 6,000 now or more?
We have a little over 5,000 women in our, what we call our main or our big group. And that's it's a private group, but it's the main group. And then we have our membership community, which is a paid membership community. And we have, I think, 42 women in that community.
Yeah, and that's more intimate one-on-one type coaching with Rebecca. So what would you say defined so, like, get focused? What does that look like? What are the biggest distractions you see for Christian women, nonprofit, and business owners that come in your circle?
Right. Yeah, there's so many things, right? When I started the nonprofit and CWN back in the day, things like back in the day, actually it was before CWN, there wasn't social media, which is a huge added distraction. And we'll talk about that in a bit. But I think a lot of the distraction is that there are so many voices, right? There's so many things vying for our attention. Some of them are great things. Some of them are not so great things. And so there's too many voices. We are, a lot of times we are creatives, right? We're problem solvers. That's why we're in business or in ministry, because we're designed to be a problem solver. We're ideas generators. Some of us are ideas machines, and it's hard to turn that off, right? The creatives, the ideas generators, and the problem solvers. That's the superpowers that we're given. and we're hungry for the information because we want to distribute that, right, through to others through the voice that God has given us. But sometimes there are so many ideas, right? There are so many ways that we can look at things that we get, it gets watered down because we're going in too many directions. So that's the, I think, the biggest one. Then you add to it social media with all the voices that are out there and regular media. There's so many people saying, well, this is what you're supposed to be doing, and you're supposed to do it this way. And so we get distracted by those things. And you had said something before we started recording about being upward focused rather than outward focused or even inward focused. It's the outward things, all of the things all around us. And it's really about, what has God called you to do? What is your assignment? He designed you and created you with and for a purpose. The business, the ministry, whatever it is that you're in, is the vehicle to deliver the message to the people that need to receive it. So those things that are distracting us are keeping us from delivering the message in the way God designed us. So long story short, and also let me just say, the lies of the enemy are also at play, right? And the distortion, there's distortion that happens. You might hear something and it's from God, and then it gets distorted. That's another big one. And then the enemy's a manipulator. So lies, manipulations, and distortions of the enemy, which is why it's so important to be upward focused, right? And so
definitely. Yeah. So let's pause there for a minute with the lies of the enemy, because that's close to my heart, because I wrote a book on that years ago. What are some common lies that you hear to get women distracted?
You're not ready. You don't have enough information. You're not educated enough. You're not enough. You don't have a degree or certification. Let's see. There's so many. There's so many lies, and there's too much competition. Nobody wants to hear what you have to say. Are any of these resonating with you that are listening?
Resonating with me. I've heard them all. And I think about how many times I believed those lies, and I've sat in the lie instead of taking it to scripture and saying, okay, what does God say? And I think that's the biggest thing, that's the key to overcoming the lie.
Yes.
Is everything goes back to, you take the lie or whatever the voice you hear from the enemy and take it to scripture, compare it to God's word. What does God say about this lie that you're hearing? You know, I'm not enough. No, he says you're enough in him. You're not enough, but in him you are enough. Yes. So I think, what are some of the big lies that you've heard over the years to help you, you know, because you are just so strong and so dynamic. And mm-hmm. I love that about you, but I know that took growth and that took time. That doesn't happen overnight.
No.
So
and the attacks still come, right? It doesn't, it's not, they're not gone. So I'm glad that it looks I've been able to overcome them enough that it doesn't rattle me in the way, mm-hmm. Outwardly that other people see. Now I do have my moments where I get in a funk where I've allowed it, where if your health is, you know, if you're having health challenges, if you haven't had enough sleep, if you're not eating right, if you're not doing all of those things, there are cracks that the enemy goes, ooh, 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 she's vulnerable. Let me go in and dig around and poke her where it hurts, right? He'll pick at a scar or a wound. Those are some of the distractions or the lies. But some of the lies are the competition. When I first started coaching, which was, like I said, 16 years ago before social media, I was kind of almost in the early stages of coaching, where most coaching was were for executives. People, executives received coaching. So I was kind of it, and especially as a Christian coach. So I was good. I was hitting all of the networking events, going the circuit and speaking and networking, and it was great. And then all of a sudden, coaching started to boom and became a thing, and there were several other coaches, and I was just like, oh no, now what am I going to do? Now I have all this competition. There's like five or six coaches at this networking group that was mine. You know, that was kind of like, this was my group. But what I realized is, doesn't matter if there are five or six other whatevers, right? If it's a coach or a health coach or a ministry leader, it doesn't matter, because God created us uniquely and individually. We're not supposed to reach everybody. There's a select group of people that God has in mind for us to connect with. So that was, I think, the biggest lie, and still can be, is the competition, and that, look at what they're doing. Everybody's got so much more glitz and glam and tools and all of the things. Just be you. God breathed, beautiful, daughter of the Most High God, you authentically, uniquely. So I think those are the biggest lies. And the way, one of the things that I just want to share this, because you had, it talked about going to scripture. One of the activities that I have for my clients or any group coaching that I do, it's called the negative positive. And I have them take a piece of paper, fold it in half, or draw a line down the middle. On the one side, you put, what are the top five lies that you hear or that you repeat over and over again? Because let me tell you, you believe what you tell yourself over and over again. Right? So if you're repeating it over and over again, you're solidifying that lie. So to break that, you write down the top five lies that you hear regularly. You can write as many as you want, but stick to five to start with, right? Top five. What are the lies? They're lies. They're ungodly. All right. And they're negative. So that's on that side. Well, you can imagine what's on the other side, the truth, the godly, and the positive. So you take that lie, and you say, okay, but what does God have to say about this? So turn that into the positive. Then after you've done that, so you turn that negative into a positive statement, and then you go to scripture and you find scripture that backs that up. And if you have a hard time finding scripture to back that up, because a lot of people say, well, Rebecca, how do I know? I love openbible.info. Mm-hmm. There's a topical section, and you can, there's a little box, and you can type in the phrase or the question or the topic, and it will give you all of the scriptures that are related to that. So that's how I tell them. It's like, okay, go there, find a scripture, then take it one step further, personalize that scripture. So writing it out in a personalized form, and work on memorizing that. So then when you hear the lie, no, you take it captive immediately. You say the truth, and you state that scripture, that personalized scripture. That takes practice. And yeah, that is one of the things that really helped me. That's what my coach years ago, counselor, coach, mentor, surrogate mama, spiritual mama, taught me, was about that negative self-talk, because it will stop you in your tracks, and it comes right from the pit of hell. So that's what I have to say about that.
Awesome. And that is exactly what we do at Christian Marketeers. I did it with a client last night. I was like, okay, here's the, you know, here's what lies are you believing? And she's like, well, I don't have it all together. And I'm like, you're not supposed to. So there's freedom in that, you know? I'm like, she's like, but on social media, everybody has it all. I'm like, yeah, because it's pictures that people put up. And I think that's where, you know, when you talk about social media, it's meant to be a distraction, because we're scrolling and we're looking and we're seeking, and we're like, we want that connection and community with people. And that's excellent. I highly recommend the connection and community, because there's great in that. But there's a balance in that. If you're spending hours a day on social media and you're just scrolling and looking, because I've done it, it's it's a wrong focus. You don't need to do that to be a successful nonprofit owner or business owner. You know, don't look at other people's snippets of life. Yes. To get a glimpse of what your life is supposed to be look like, because then you're distracted because you're looking at their world, and you don't know what goes on behind the scenes in their house and what they're posting and what they're struggling with, instead of looking at what God's saying to you personally.
Yes. Yes. Who are you in Christ? And you have to go to God's word to know what that is. It we have to continually seek him, spend time with him. He wants what he's created you for. He wants you to follow that and walk that out even more than you do. And so knowing that it was his idea, okay? It's his idea. So go to him and consult with him and filter everything through God's word. Filter everything. Go to what your main goal is, your main purpose. I call it your big picture vision. that comes from God? What was your reason? What are you doing? What did he call you to do? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, filter everything through that. And social media, yes, people can be whoever they want to be. They're giving you the best bits most of the time. Well, some of them are giving us not the best bits, right? You know, that's out there too, right? But I think the thing that distracts, and it's all distraction, right? If you can start out and it's so innocent. And that's the thing about the lie. It seems so innocent. That's why the lies catch us up, because the words seem innocent, or the picture seems innocent, or the post seems innocent, or the whatever, fill in the blank. It seems innocent, or it seems intriguing, or it seems like this is the thing. This is the thing that's going to help me do whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you get distracted. Then you find out that you were lied to. You get off track. Did you filter it through your vision, God's vision? Did you filter it through God's word? It's really important that we do that, because that will help you stay focused. Well, what does God say about this? What does God's word say about this? What is he saying to me? The Holy Spirit is alive and well to prompt us, and we need to listen to those promptings. And a lot of times the other voices are louder, right? And we do the yeah, but.
Mm-hmm.
But don't look at your butts, okay?
No. I've taught my kids to say, but God, you know, so when they do that, it's flip it, but God,
yeah.
But God. And the way that we get to see God work, you know, I think the biggest thing for distraction is we don't look for God at work in our lives, but yet he's a part of our everyday life in this beautiful journey that he's created with us and has us on. And the thing about it is, you know, I get people all the time of, I don't see God. And it's because they're not looking for him in their family, in their business. They haven't, you know, oh, I haven't had that miracle moment of all the financing for a building yet. But you're not celebrating those small moments along the way. That volunteer that comes to help you, that, you know, those little bits along the journey that build the journey. Yeah. You know, we don't celebrate along the way.
Right. And it's so important that we do at those small things, the seen and the unseen, right?
Yeah.
You know, don't despise your small beginnings. It's so important. And I think that was one of the things my other mentor got into my head. Don't despise the small beginnings. Look at what God is doing. It's baby steps. Even if you take a baby step here and a baby step there, after a while, enough of those baby steps and you turn around and you go, wow, I actually got somewhere. But it's just like, take all of those wins and those victories and celebrate those with God. And I tell people, you know, give yourself little rewards. It's like behavior modification for adults. Celebrate. Give yourself some kind of a reward. It doesn't have to be anything huge. It can be, I'm going to take an extra half an hour and go for a walk, or I'm going to, you know, whatever it is for you. I'm going to take a bubble bath. I'm going to do, you know, a spa time, me time. I'm going to dance. I'm going to sing. I'm going to whatever. Maybe it's buy yourself something if you want to buy yourself something, but celebrate. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. It's okay to pour into you. You know, I think for us, and I know you and myself, we like to pour out to people.
Yes.
And we pour out so much because we coach and we give and we share and we encourage and all that. But we have to remember as leaders to pour into ourselves too. Like, it's okay to take that self-care break and,
yes,
and go do something for yourself. You know, that was hard for me as a mom because I was so busy pouring out to my children and giving them, you know, it was taught, make sure they have everything they need and make sure that they don't have any wants and da da da. And that's all good. But when you're depleted yourself, you're not going to be that business owner, that nonprofit leader, that wife, that mom, that friend that you're called to be, because you're tired and you're broken.
And I think that's another lie, is that self-care is selfish, and it's not selfish, right? We're supposed to love others as we love ourselves, as we're supposed to pour into ourselves. We cannot serve if we're depleted. We can't help anybody. And so we tend, as women especially, I think we put ourselves last. It's like, I'll do it when. Well, there never is a when, because there are so many, especially if you're a wife and a mom and you have a business or even a job or ministry, it doesn't matter. If you've got something else and you have a family, right? It's you're being pulled in so many directions that if you don't take care of yourself, you have the risk of getting sick. You have the risk of burnout. You have the risk of fatigue. Well, who can you help when you're in those positions? Nobody. You can't even help yourself. Yeah. And so it really is important. And so start out with those little self-care moments. And I take them all throughout my day. Back when I was younger, and I think a lot of, you know, another lie is that you have to really pump out you got to stay tied to your desk. You've got to work through your lunch. You've got to crank it out. You've got to work until you drop practically. And that, no, I've gotten older and wiser, and I know what I need. I get up from, I do 90 minutes is like my max, and it's a little bit less now since I've had some health challenges, but I set a timer. Doesn't matter if I'm done with my project or not. I need a break. I know I need a break. I'll be more productive if I take that break. I'll be able to be more focused, right, if I take a break. So getting up from my desk, leaving my office, not taking my phone, and going into another room and scrolling on my phone, because sometimes that's part of our break. Don't do it. Because then you're distracted again. You're absorbed by something else. You want to see God? Go out in nature. Go look at a flower, how intricately designed a flower is, or a bird, or a tree, or anything. Go out in nature if you can. I mean, there's, you know, depending on what your weather is like, but experience something like that. Go take a self-care break, whatever that is. It can be 10 minutes, 15 minutes. It can make all of the difference. It can get you back to focus. I know there are times where it's like, I'm so frustrated, I can't get pushed past this problem. And that can be a distraction. I know I need to, nope, just Rebecca, that pushing through is not working. Mm-hmm. Get up, leave your room, go pet your puppy dogs. I've got dogs. They're my sweet little distractions in my therapy. Or go outside, and I just have to get a breather. And if I do that enough times, I can make it through the day so much better than if I try to push through and crank something out. So it's really about how you manage yourself. You can't manage time. Time's going to go on with you or without you. And there's no such thing as perfect balance. You have to find out what is your rhythm. And for me, it's I do those snippets. And I also take a big break in the middle of my day. I do kind of a split shift, because that's what I need for my own health and well-being. It doesn't work for everybody, but find what works for you to help you function at your utmost, to be the most productive for yourself, for your business, for your ministry, for your family, for whoever needs you. God needs you to be at your ultimate as well.
Amen. So good. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we will be back with more of our Get Focused chat with Rebecca. Stay tuned, everybody.
Why become a sponsor at Mercy's Life Family? Sponsors at Mercy's Life Family are ending sex trafficking. They are healing girls physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially to put them back on their feet in just 3 short years for themselves and their babies to be self-sustaining. That's what you get at Mercy's Life Family sponsorship. In addition to that, you get a prayer card with the story of your girl or your baby, so you can pray over them. You get behind the scenes access to be able to see day-to-day life in Kenya and what life is like for the girls at the house and how they're developing. You get that and so much more. Join us in sponsorship today.